Hannah is my young soul. When an old soul and a young soul get together, it is the most marvelous experience, the most joyful union in the world. So what Christy was saying about meeting other people, do it, do it. I mean, we meet once a week sometimes. We meet and we study God's Word together and we share. And she knows stuff I never thought of. And I know stuff she never thought of. And it's wonderful. So she is my dear, dear friend, and thank you very much for leading us. And the song tells the story I could let you go home, but I won't. I've got too much to tell you, but from God. But I had them printed on the outline because I want you to take it home. These words are a message to us from God, and we're going to talk about what it means, the story we're going to talk about doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit, but this song does. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is the very important part of anything we do with God. So the introduction, my introduction says on the outline says, therefore, we start on the two foundations. It's all the house built on a rock and the house built on sand are the two different kind of foundations. And it starts with, in the New American Standard, it starts in therefore. And so we have to go find out what there is there for. And we really need to know that to understand what he's going to say in the two foundations. First, and I'm sorry we're not in the chapel only because their Bible's there, and I was counting on all y'all being able to pull out the Bible and have the Word. I'm not wasting the time on passing. If you have it in your, y'all have the Bible in your phone? If you don't, you should get it. It's free, you know, what's the app? YouVersion, yeah, it's free, and you get 50 different versions you can go to in the punch of your finger. So it's wonderful. But anyway, what is therefore in verse 24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house. And yet, and I have this problem with my iPad. And it does not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. What is the therefore there? We have to go back to verses 21, which says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. If you say, Lord, Lord, then you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. An interesting fact, when you double a salutation, Lord, Lord, it means that it's an intimate relationship. The people he's talking about are people who seem to have an intimate relationship with God. They do all the right things, they say all the right words, but they don't. He says, who hears the words of mine and acts on them Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. So, all we've got to do is do the will of the Father. When I was a new Christian, which was before the earth's crust hardened, 50 years ago, one of the first things I did, I'm reading the Bible, and I want to know, what is the will of God? You know, what's the will of God? I don't know. Everything you read and everybody said, do the will of God. And I didn't know what the will of God was. But you know, when you're a new Christian, you kind of hate to be the dumb one. So I didn't ask everybody, but I did ask a lot of people. And I read some books, and I didn't know what the will of God was. And I was just really frantic to know, and I was praying seriously to God, and nothing was happening. So one day I said, okay, God, you know, you're not answering my prayer. And you say, if I ask you something, you will hear me and you will answer, and you're not answering my prayer. I tell you what you can do. If you would write a note and tie it around a rock and throw it down through my window or on my head when I go out the door this afternoon, that would be good. And then I would know that you heard me, and I would know what your will is. And so the next time I went out the door, I kind of hoped it didn't hit me in the head. But it didn't. I didn't get a note tied around a rock. But that very same afternoon, my son, who was at that time in fifth grade, and we had just become Christians, and he had just started going to Briarwood kindergarten, five-year-old kindergarten, and he came home and he said, here, Mama, this is for you. And what he meant was, this is for you to put up on the board and teach me. It was the Bible verse. Anyway, I opened it up, and the verse said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It was a note. It wasn't tied around a rock, but it was rolled up and had a bow on it. And I knew at that moment that was the will of God for me. And all these years later, that has been the mainstay of what I know God wants me to do. I don't do it always, but I know that it is, and I try for that. That's the thing I pray for. The other thing, there are other ways than God tells us in our Word. I'm sure you all could tell your own stories of how you learned what the will of God was for you. But Micah 6:8 says, what does the Lord require of you, O man or O woman, but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Wow. That's what he requires of us. But what does that mean? And this is a story. Some of you all may remember Dr. Jim Collier. Pam Collier still is here at Briarwood, his wife. Well, his son and my son were both both about 9 years old, probably in the fourth grade, and they were playing basketball together. And my son was really good, and his son was too. They were playing really, really hard. But there was a referee there who was a good man. I knew him and I liked him, but he was intent on teaching these children the rules of basketball. And that if you break them, there are consequences. So he was blowing his whistle all the time. And it was miserable. The kids were frustrated. We parents were getting frustrated. And I was really getting annoyed. I had forgotten that the will of God for me was to give thanks in all things. And I was not thankful for that man and that umpire. And I was kind of grumbling. But I was sitting beside Jim Collier. And Jim said at some point, I mumbled some ugly, hateful thing, and he quietly and calmly, he was a very calm man, but he played bridge. So his comment was, that man needs somebody to teach him that mercy trumps justice. And that simple sentence exegeted Michael 6:8 to me. What does God require of you but to do justice? Do the right thing. Act justly. Follow the rules. Learn the Ten Commandments and obey them. That's doing justice. But mercy. But it says, do justice. Love mercy. Mercy trumps justice. Mercy covers justice. We're supposed to do our being just in love and kindness. And then it says to walk humbly with your God. What you think is just may not even be what God thinks is just. Be careful. Walk humbly with your God. The will of God is doing what God says we should do. And how do we know what God wants us to do? By reading and studying His Word. By coming and hearing people like me blab on. It's easy to know. And it's usually, you know, I was hoping that when I got the note from God tied around the rock that it would say, my will for you is to write the great American novel. I always wanted to write a book. I've never even written a good story. But, that was kind of what I was hoping for. Or, you know, I thought it would be really cool if I would have had my face on the front page of Engineering News Record sometime, because I would be a famous engineer. I was not a famous engineer. I wasn't an engineer at all. But I did study in school, engineering in school, but I didn't graduate in that. But, you know, that was kind of what I thought the will of God for my life should be. But no, it is to give thanks in everything. It is to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. That's what he says here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he will. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Is that not one of the most frightening statements in the Bible? That God would declare to you, to me, oh, I hate that, that I never knew you. But knowing God, saying, Lord, Lord, going to church, memorizing scripture, doing all those things that we are supposed to do, are not necessarily, the casting, this says, we cast out demons, we did many miracles in your name. But using God's name, without knowing God, without surrendering to God, your spirit, means you will be cast out. He doesn't know us. One of the most wonderful things about reading the Word of God is, and studying the Word of God, is that you begin to find out who God is from His Word, who He says He is, and more importantly, you begin to find out who you are from His perspective. That wasn't so much fun sometimes, you know, but finding out who I am. But it's the only way we grow in Christ. It's only how we come to know Christ. But he says here, and I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And this lawlessness does not mean that, you know, you're driving too fast and the cops are going to stop you. That's not what he's talking about. It's talking about people who follow the law of the land, the lawlessness, ignore the law of God, ignore God's mercy and grace, and follow the law, and follow the culture. And you know, we're living in a world where this is a unique group of people who come to hear God's word, but there's a bunch more unique groups of people who don't want to hear it or have anything to do with it. But those people that don't, God will say, depart from me. I never knew you. And they work the lawlessness. I have to pull this up so I can read it. I'm so sorry. But James 1:2 says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers only, who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. I don't know about y'all, but I've done that many times. I've gotten myself all dressed up to go somewhere, and I have had my quiet time, and I'm feeling wonderful, and I get in my car to go somewhere, maybe to Briarwood, to church, who knows, and some guy pulls in front of me. I didn't give thanks. I didn't want to do mercy on that guy. The thoughts in my head were satanic. I was so angry because that man did that. So it's easy. But if you do that continually, if that's how you're living your life, beware. Beware. Don't look in the mirror of God is showing us. His word is his mirror for us. We look in his word and we see who he is. Basically the Ten Commandments, and the main ones. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and your mind? And do you love your neighbor as yourself? I love my neighbor. I don't love my neighbor's cat because it comes over in my yard and eats my birds. So, you know, I'm kind of mad at my neighbor half the time. I mean, I'm trying to say we're all normal people and we're not supposed to act like we have no sin because we all have great sin. That's why we need a Savior. That's why Christ died. And one of the things that I've learned from reading the book of John that has just really touched my heart. And that is that when you become a Christian, the process is, and you know all this, you know God loves you and we love God because he first loved us. We know those words and we know that thing, but think about it. I do this because my mental image is that I'm in God's hands. I'm a sinner, not yet saved by grace. I'm in God's hands. And he chooses, not me, I had nothing to do with it. He chooses to give me to Jesus. And Jesus accepts me. And Jesus says, nobody, no thing can snatch you out of my hand. And then Jesus gives me the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, who lives in me so that I can give thanks in everything. I don't always do it, but I can. Before that, I couldn't actually ever give thanks to God for the whatever. But now I can. And that's the image of that. It's all God's doing. And it is even God doing the keeping. Philippians 2 says, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And it's the willing. If we don't will to do it, we won't do it. But it's the Holy Spirit. It's not that I can work that up. It's the Holy Spirit is working in me to make me want to do it. And then he makes me do it. But it's the wanting. And I've got stories, but I'm going to move on. I'll never get through this. I'm on your outline. I've got who can enter the kingdom of heaven? See if I can find this. Ezra 7:10 says, Ezra, I don't have it written down, but Ezra set his mind to study the word of God and to do it. That's the word, that's the will of God for us too. To set our minds to, once we're a Christian, studying the, 1 Corinthians says if you're not a Christian and you start to study the word of God, you'll just go nuts because it won't make any sense to you at all. And I understood that when I was in college, I was not a Christian and I had a literature course that had 6 weeks of it was on the Bible as literature and we were studying Job. And I made all A's in literature. But I made a C. I didn't know what that was saying. I could not understand what, and the professor wasn't a Christian, so he didn't know either what he was saying. He was making up some kind of weird things. It was awful because the scripture says that the word of God is foolishness to the unregenerate man. But to us, we're Ezra's, and we need to set our minds to study the word of God and to do it. And that's what Jesus is saying here. The man who does my will, that's the wise man. I have to read this because it's one of my favorite things. Who can't is the next thing on the outline. Who can't? Who isn't going to enter the kingdom of heaven? And this is Ezekiel 33. And I'm sure y'all know this, but I'm going to have to read it. It's so good. But as for you, son, this is God talking to Ezekiel. But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, and they speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is that comes from the Lord. Let's go listen. They come to you, as people come, and sit before you as my people, and hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. Behold, Ezekiel, you are to them like a sensual song sung by a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that is what God says about these people who say, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. But you don't do my words. You don't do what I wanted you to do. And so, therefore. So we get to the two foundations. And I have to say this little bit of history that I just learned myself. That in that day, more so than today, I think, because climate does change, but the climate of Palestine, which is where Jesus is sitting, and I forgot to say this to begin with. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the last story on the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus gets through telling what we're talking about today, he gets up and goes down the mountain. So the Sermon on the Mount starts in Matthew 5. And this is Matthew 7. But Jesus is sitting on a mountain. We don't know what mountain. It doesn't tell us. But teaching his disciples what he wants them to do. And this is not all he teaches them, but this is the first big message that he gives them. But there were also other people listening. All the big crowds had come. Where he's sitting and the people who are listening to him will understand this, that in that terrain, it was very, very dry. It rarely rained. So, you know, the ground would be hard everywhere. But then occasionally there would be a storm, and the storms were violent. They came, as it says here, the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house, against both houses, the one built on the rock and the one built on the sand. But for you, in reality, in Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, the houses, you could build it here. Here's the house on the rock and here's the house on the sand, and they could look exactly the same. As secure, one is as secure as the other for years because it didn't rain, because there were no storms. And so one would look just as secure, but when the rains came, literally, I mean, we're not talking spiritually here now, literally, when the rains came, the one that was built on a rock would stand. The one that was built on the sand, on a rock, sandy foundation, would be totally washed away, wiped out. So that's a true thing. And that's true, of course, that's what Jesus is saying here. These people that just said, Lord, Lord, in your name, they've been doing that for a long time. He says, in that day, that's in the last day, the judgment day, they will say to him that. They've been going through for a long time saying, Lord, Lord, casting out demons and stuff. So, you know, they look just like everybody else. And we're not to judge. God judges. We don't judge. So if you hear me saying, Lord, Lord, don't say, oh, I bet she doesn't do God's work. We don't judge other people, but God judges. And that's what he's telling us here. Our job is to be sure that we are doing the will of God. We are hearing his words and doing what he wants us to do. It says that he who hears the words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came. And literally, that the words floods, it means rivers. And I think the people in Cahaba Heights who live in the lower edge experienced that. That was so funny. I don't know. Carolyn Campbell's not here. I don't see her. But she's a good friend of mine, and she just lives. I live on the upper end of the road, and she lives down here. And, I mean, when that water comes rushing down, it rushed into her garage, knocked stuff, going so fast, knocked stuff off down. You know, she had destroyed her car, went into her car, but not, and that's a little river compared to what we're talking here, these kind of storms. And so, but what are the storms in our lives? You know, some of us have cancer, some of us have lost husbands or children or friends. They're storms. They're bad storms. And the storms come equally to the house on the rock and the house on the sand. The difference is where you are building your house. Jesus is talking literally, and these people understand the literal meaning probably more than we do, because we don't have those kind of storms here. But I think it would be like if you were ever in a hurricane, that kind of wind and storm would be terrifying. And at the end, if Jesus says, depart from me, it will be terrifying. But anyway, he says, and yet it does not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And as we sang, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. That's what God wants us to do. But put your faith and trust in me. Learn about me. Make up your mind that you will study my words and my ways, and you will do what I say do. And the Old Testament is so full of that. I just did a study on Jeremiah, which is kind of long. In my mind, the main theme of Jeremiah is, because you know that Jeremiah was the pastor that, the prophet that destroyed all Israel, Jerusalem, and was all totally destroyed, totally wiped out. God kept telling him through the whole book, it's going to be wiped out because you hear me, but you don't listen to me, and you don't do what I say. So just reading the Bible, that doesn't do any good. It's like they say about, you know, if you something breaks down and you want to fix it and you can't fix it, it says, well, read the manual on it. And if that doesn't work, do it. Follow it. You know, just reading the Bible is our manual. That's our manual for life. But just reading it doesn't do any good if we don't follow it, if we don't practice internalizing it. And so then when storms come, when whatever comes, we don't escape the storm. It doesn't say no rain hit the house. It's the same storm. The same power of the storm hit one as hit the other. My note here is, the rock is Christ, but where do we find his will for us? Who teaches us his words in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. John 14:25-26 says, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, Jesus talking to the disciples. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. these people in Jerusalem that day, Jesus was there, the Holy Spirit had not come. None of them had any experience with the Holy Spirit, but we all do. He lives in us. He's working in us to cause us to will and to do His good pleasure. We're not alone. It's not this frightening, horrible thing. You can hear Jesus saying, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Well, if we have surrendered our wills to Christ, we know we have the Holy Spirit. We don't have to worry about that statement. We do have to worry about whether or not God's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." James says, "Faith without works is dead." Works, we all know, does not save us. But once we're saved, for grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And we are saved for, verse 10, we never say that, but verse 10 says, "For the good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in." And we get, like, "What is the will of God for me?" Right in the famous book. No, that isn't it. Having everybody think you're the sweetest person in the room. No, that isn't either. Are you listening to God? Am I listening to God? Am I hearing what God is saying? It's like when I heard Jim Collier say that about it, and I had just memorized Ezra 6:10. Whew, yes, the Holy Spirit in me at that moment said, "Guess what? Now you know what that verse means. It means," and as I already told you what, but we have the Holy Spirit who illumines us, who brings everything to our mind, and who, praise God, says, "Whoa, you don't really want to do that." And I would love to say, and as soon as I hear that, I never do it. You all know, a lot of y'all know me well. You know that's not true. I do it. But I'm at some point in that process, I am so grateful that the Holy Spirit said, "Whoa." And I learn. Usually, we all learn. We learn by our mistakes. It's so much nicer if we learn by obedience. But we don't. But that's our goal. That is our goal, to keep working towards that. And that means we need to be studying God's Word. We need to be paying attention to God's Word. Okay, I'm hurrying here now, but the wise man, how is he wise? He's wise because he listens to God. Anybody, and Psalm 119, 99 and 100 say, the verse says, "I am smarter than all my teachers because I have your word in my heart." I had a friend that I wanted to take over a job I had in the church. And she said, "Oh, I can't do that. I didn't go to college." And I almost fell out on the floor because I had trained her and she knew better. And I said, "Whoa." And I read her that verse. Well, your education, your worldly education is totally unimportant. What is important is, are you hearing God's Word? Are you obeying God's Word? Are you repenting when you don't and getting back up off the floor and keeping on, keeping on? That's what's important. And so that's what a wise man is. And but the foolish man, Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is more despicable, more deceitful than all else, and desperately wicked." The heart is more deceitful than all else, and desperately wicked. And you know who the heart wants to deceive? You. Your heart wants to deceive you. My heart wants to deceive me. I can deceive y'all. I can stand up here and not ever say one ugly thing about me. I just did everything I said perfectly. But you wouldn't know the difference. You're not supposed to say no back. But you all know that about me. I'm a human being. We're all We're all sinners, just saved by grace, but we're still sinners. But our hearts want to deceive us. As it says, we look in the mirror, we see, and you walk away, and you forget that you had lipstick on your teeth, and so don't wipe it off. It's that simple. It's you look in the mirror, Word of God, and you see that you're not doing mercy, loving mercy. You're not being merciful to the person that's just annoyed the stuffing out of you. And you see that, and you walk away and do nothing. Or you walk away and say, oh God, give me the courage and the strength and the whatever else it is I'm going to need to handle the situation in a godly way. Because, you know, at the moment you're mad at somebody, you don't have that. But God will give it to us. So anyway, the foolish man built his house on sand, and Jesus and the Word and the law. That's what I put on here. Because these people were saying, Lord, Lord. They were using Jesus' name, but in vain. They may have been deceived by their own heart. They may have not even known that, because they weren't in the Word of God. They were listening to other people. You can listen to tapes and music and all that's good. I'm not saying it's not good. But if that's all you're getting, you're not hearing God. And God speaking to you is the most exciting thing in the world. All right, so my conclusions written on the bottom of the thing here is words matter. They really matter. What we say and what's said to us, that matters. And only God's words are truly trustworthy. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so sick of fake news. And I am so sick of being told what's fake news and what's not. But it's all fake. What we can trust about our spiritual world and our world outside is what God says about it. And we listen to godly people. We can listen to Harry Reader tell us how we need to think about the woke in our society. And I used to be on the Briarwood School Board. I'm not anymore. I hope somebody is checking out what if we do woke or not. I doubt seriously we do at Briarwood. But we need to be aware of those things. But God, we can trust God's Word. That's the only thing you can trust for sure. You can find them in the Bible. And reading and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us to will and to do His good pleasure is how you build a firm foundation. That is how we can build a firm foundation. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's not in our own flesh, people. It is in Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. It is so powerful, and it is truth. And You, in Your mercy and grace, have given it to us. You've written it all down in a book, and we can pick it up and read it and underline it and memorize it and study it, and we thank You for that, Father. Otherwise, we would be in worse shape than we are. But we also thank You, Father, for the Holy Spirit who lives in us, dwells in us, works in us to will and to do Your good pleasure. The Holy Spirit's main job, Father, Your Word tells us, is to conform us to Your image, to the image of Christ. And Father, I just pray that what we've thought about today, about building our foundation, the kind of foundation we would build, and building it only on the solid rock, that the Holy Spirit would make that so important to us that we would not cease to love You, to seek Your Word and seek Your face. Psalm 27 verse 8 says, when Thou didst say to my soul, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, O God, will I seek. Let that be our prayer, Father. Let that be our rule of action for today. I pray you bless all these ladies as they leave here to do whatever they have to do in their world, that you would bless us all, Father, to love you more and to be graceful and merciful and gracious to all those around us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.